Brilliant. Thank you so much, Liz, and thank you everyone for having me. It's really nice to be here, and it's nice to actually do it in person. Like, I've done one of these virtually during COVID, and actually it's a whole different game doing it in person, seeing so many people here. So that's really, really nice. I'm not entirely sure I can top what Hayatem gave you, but what I thought I was going to do is give you a little bit of, I guess, the government lens on the topic of careers and leadership in science and technology. So as Liz said when she introduced me, my team are responsible for, well, they were responsible for publishing the people and culture strategy, and now we're looking at implementing that and how we can take that forward, but also looking more widely at people in R&D and talent and how we can best support people through that. So I'll tell you a little bit about where we're up to there and what we are thinking. There we go. So the R&D people and culture strategy, you've possibly heard of it, but if you haven't, then that is totally okay. So the strategy got published last summer, and it was one really big step for us because it really recognized that people are at the heart of R&D. Like, all of the government rhetoric about science superpower, what you need to get great R&D and science and tech underway in the UK, like, a lot of it depends on the people working in it. And that was explicitly recognised in the strategy, which was great. The overall aim of it is really just to ensure that the UK has the people we need at all levels, but also working in a culture that gets the best out of everyone and delivers the best outcomes for the country. And there's a vision that sits behind that, which is for a more inclusive, dynamic, productive, and sustainable UK R&D sector where a diversity of people and ideas can thrive. So it is both about supporting the people, but also about the environment that those people work in to really make that attractive. We've got here on the slide the little pyramid that we designed as part of that, but it just shows you a little bit that we've got a vision, some goals, some early announcements and things we're doing, but also longer term outcomes we want to achieve. Broadly, everything is split into people, culture, and talent. So people is very much, as you might imagine, having enough people with the right skills in the right areas, getting them to thrive. Culture is then more about the environment that they work in. So making sure it's inclusive, making sure we tackle things like bullying and harassment, those sorts of things. And then talent, again, is about making sure we attract and retain talented researchers in these careers, and whether that is academia or industry or more widely, but making sure we have that attraction there. So there is a lot in there about kind of career opportunities, how we can improve that wider environment, and really making sure that everybody can be at their best. There are a number of specific policy commitments, as I mentioned, but the goals are much wider than that. And actually, we recognized when we published a strategy that it, because it is quite all-encompassing, it is not something where government can implement 10 things and then suddenly everything is fixed, happy days. Is unfortunately not as simple as that. A lot of the changes we're talking about need a bit more cultural change, and they also need engagement from beyond just government. So what we've set out in the strategy are a number of outcomes that we therefore want to see sort of further down the line. Many, but not all, are relevant for careers and leadership. So I've put a few on here. So we want to see more dynamic, varied, and sustainable career paths. So a move away from that perception that, particularly in academia, there's sort of one run of the ladder you need to climb and you kind of can't diverge from that. That's it. Making sure there's recognition and reward of all the people and activities that lead to excellent research. So moving away from just focusing on publication record, for example. We wanted to see all people from all backgrounds inspired into careers in R&D and innovation by our talent offer. And there's also a lot there about focusing on leadership and encouraging movement and collaboration between academia, industry, third sector, et cetera. So that's kind of where we wanted to go with that. And I'll give you a little bit of an overview of how far we have got. I mean, implementation is well underway. So quite a bit has happened already. you can see a few things on the slide here. There is more to it. So we're more than a year on, and both us in BEIS, but also UKRI, who we work really closely with, and other partners have done quite a lot to deliver on the more immediate commitments. So, for example, on people, UKRI have led a cross-sectoral consultation on the new deal for postgraduate research. So that was a consultation this year that has now closed, and they're analysing responses and next steps. There's been a review of the STEM Ambassadors programme, for example, and its impacts, to seeing whether there is any more that can be done there. Some other things, like we have provided some funding to the Royal Society, for example, to launch a UK Young Academy, and are working with UKRI, who have their Early Career Researchers Network, to really try and give, in particular, early career researchers a bit more of a voice in the wider debates around R&D policy, science and tech. So that's a few things on people. On culture, UKRI have been driving the adoption of the resume for research and innovation. I don't know whether you're familiar with that, but that's a narrative style CV, which is really designed to recognize a much broader spectrum of contributions and career achievements than maybe has traditionally been the case, particularly in academia. They've hosted a really large international event on this, and it's really designed to help with that mobility and enable people to not just have very linear, narrow career paths, but actually move in between different sectors and still be successful and not have that stand in their way. The government has published the bureaucracy review, and that's currently considering how to implement that and consider the recommendations. So there should be more coming out shortly on that. UKRI have published a new open access policy, for example, that has also since begun. The Sectoral Forum for Tackling Bullying and Harassment has developed some new guidance on preventing bullying, harassment and discrimination. There's been some research on community youth engagement. Again, quite a lot happening on culture. Talent, similarly, quite a lot on the way. So we've made some improvements, further improvements to the global talent visa, for example, temporary worker visa routes to make that more attractive. We've also worked with the Cabinet Office to launch something called the Great Talent Campaign, which includes a website where particularly researchers from abroad who are interested in coming to the UK have a bit of a one-stop shop where they can find, you know, practical information, career information, but also information about funding that is available in the UK. And there's been the new high potential individual visa route that launched recently. And there's some things beyond that. So we have a ministerial coordination group for the implementation of the strategy that is set up. That's got some working groups underneath that. And we're also looking at how we can get a bigger voice of early career researchers and people on the ground into that debate and really guide the implementation of the strategy beyond just, you know, we're committed to doing these 10 things and when we're done, that's it. And we carried out the first UK-wide survey of the R&I workforce over the summer. So that's never been done. We hope to publish the results a little bit later this year and then hope to do that fairly regularly going forward, because obviously, unless you have a way of measuring your progress, it is very difficult to know whether you're actually moving or not. So that was a little bit on the people and culture strategy, but obviously that's kind of one aspect of what we worry about within government. There is loads more. So we as BEIS invest in funding and offering attractive fellowships and the like through our various partners. So we provide quite a lot of funding to UKRI, so UK Research and Innovation. That's in the scale of about 8 billion a year. But we also fund the UK National Academies, including the Royal Academy of Engineering, to the scale of about 200 million a year. But obviously the academies are independent of government, whereas UKRI is an arm's length body. But through both of those, what we do is we invest in talent and fellowships across all careers, across all disciplines. But specifically, we're always looking to support things that align with wider government priorities. So, for example, schemes that bring people together from across industry, academia, facilitate that collaboration and that mobility in the better exchange between the two. And there are some really wonderful examples, both within UKRI and the academies, of where that is working really well. And that is really great. But we're always trying to keep it really agile. So I put on here two things that were probably a bit random that nobody quite expected to have to deal with this year, but that came out. So, for example, the British Academy set up a scheme for Ukrainian researchers at risk in response to the Ukraine-Russian war. And that's something that we have supported. We've also worked with UKRI to uplift the PhD stipend levels in response to the cost of living crisis. So it's not a static thing for us. We're always keeping that under review and trying to make improvements. And then lastly, I guess there is a more international angle to what we do. So many of you will probably know that historically, Horizon 2020, the EU's previous research programme, has been a really key route for a lot of people. It's been key for attracting talent and encouraging diverse and international career paths. And that was one of the reasons why, despite leaving the EU, the UK government decided that we wanted to still be associated to the successor programme, which is Horizon Europe. And that absolutely remains our goal, and we're trying to make that happen. But so far, unfortunately, the EU haven't followed through and haven't formalised that agreement. So what we have done is we've got a guarantee in place at the moment, which means that anybody applying who's successful can still get funded, which is great. But obviously, we know that that's not necessarily a sustainable position. So we're also working on what we would do if we really cannot associate, and putting in place a set of alternative schemes. And again, a lot of that touches on talent. So we published over the summer some quite detailed plans on what we would do. But we're looking at, as I mentioned, a big chunk of that will be focusing on talent. So providing similarly prestigious fellowships and opportunities for international mobility and movement across industry, academia. Again, looking at supporting all career stages and looking at more generous offers and with less bureaucracy, and also outward mobility options. So a little bit of a tour around what we're doing, but hopefully you can see that you have a little bit of a strand through where we've identified a number of areas that we want to address throughout the government policies and the funding streams that we give, and how that plays through a little bit. Of course, there is a lot happening, but always more to be done. So as I said at the start, unfortunately, there is only so much that is directly within our control. Like, it would be lovely, wouldn't it, if there was like a nice switch that we could just flick and suddenly, happy days, we have much more sustainable, less precarious careers in R&D, science and technology. Unfortunately, it's not quite as simple as that. There are some areas where there's always going to be more work to be done, always more that government can do. But we also really need a cultural shift in some of these areas. And that takes time, but it will also need to happen bottom up. So like, one of the challenges that I've touched on is that, how do you make career paths less linear? So clearly we can dismantle some of the obstacles that are in the way, but really you need a bit of a cultural shift of people actually seeing different things as valuable, and organizations wanting to support more innovative routes. And I'd be really interested in your views as well on what more we can do, but what more we can support others to do as well. And so sector engagement and engagement from people on the ground and people like yourselves will be really critical in making these kind of more cultural shifts happen, actually. So as I said, the job won't be done if we tick off all the actions. It's a longer piece of work, and we really want everybody to be involved in that and trying to make sure we can really make change happen. Like, I strongly believe it is possible. There's really good conversations that have started. There is momentum, but it needs to be a collective effort to really make that sustainable change happen. So that is all I was going to say. Thank you very much.